Good to be here this evening. Good to see all of you again on this Sunday night. We're going to be in Psalms again. We'll be in Psalms chapter 107. Psalms chapter 107. We're going to look at the first nine verses, and we're going to take a thought from Psalms chapter 107. We're going to take a thought from there, and then we're going to refer back to Psalm 106. So we're going to be switching back and forth from Psalm 107 to Psalm 106. So I don't want to confuse anybody, but that's what we're going to be doing. And I want to speak to you this evening on the subject of praising God, praising the Lord, and more specifically, the deficiencies that arise from a lack of praising the Lord. When we don't praise the Lord, what happens in our lives? Do you praise God the way that you ought to, and do I praise God the way that I ought to? Well, most of the time, I don't. You know, I know that I am lacking in this area of praising God. But we're all commanded to, and we all have a responsibility to praise the Lord. So we'll read the first nine verses of Psalm 107, but before that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for everything that you've blessed us with. Thank you for the good day that you've given to us. Thank you for the good services that you gave us this morning. Thank you for the good music that we've heard. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for leading us and guiding us and for our salvation, Father. We thank you. Lord, we are nothing without you. We can accomplish nothing without you. We pray that you'd open up hearts this evening, that you would speak to us, that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us into all truth. We yield ourselves to you. We open up ourselves to you, Father. We pray that you'd search our hearts and look at us this evening. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll read the first nine verses of Psalm 107. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." Key verse right here. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." He says four times in this chapter, he says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." He says that in verse number 8. He says that in verse number 15. He says that in verse number 21, and he says that in verse number 31. And if you were to study each and every one of the times where he says that, he's dealing with four different situations in that chapter with four different sets of problems that arise in people's lives. But when the psalmist says that in verse number 8, he says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." I believe that the psalmist is lamenting that people do not praise God the way that they ought to. He says, oh that men would do that. And you have a history, or in Psalm 106, the previous chapter, we have a history of the people of God being delivered from all kinds of calamity and problems in their life. And God is so good to them, and he gives them second chances and third chances and five chances and so many ways. He does all of these great works in front of them, and they still don't praise God. And they're lacking in their lives because they don't praise him. They refuse to give him the glory. And so they are deficient in their lives because they don't praise him. The whole theme of the book of Psalms is praising God. The last verse of the last chapter of the book of Psalms says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." That establishes the theme of the book of Psalms. But yet men don't praise God the way that they ought to. Praising God is not just for a certain group of people. It's for everyone. Everyone ought to praise God. God deserves all of the praise and all of the glory and all of the honor, and yet we do not do this the way that we ought to. Praising God is not just for a certain time or a certain season. We ought to praise God all of the time, in every situation that we find ourselves in. And many times those situations are not good situations. Many times they're pretty tough. They're pretty hard. But when we don't praise God, it raises problems in our lives and in our spirit. And so I believe that this psalm ties in with the preceding psalm. Look at back at Psalm 106 in the second verse. It says, "Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord, and who can show forth his praise?" The psalmist says, who can do that? Who would do that? And then he goes on to give a history of Israel and how they have failed God, and God has still been good to them. Look at Psalm 107 in verse number 2. "Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord?" 107:2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Who should praise the Lord? Everyone, but especially the redeemed of God, should praise the Lord. Because God has been good to us. God could have left me in the ditch where I was at, but he brought me up out of a horrible pit, the psalmist says, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock and he established my goings. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to help me. He didn't have to help you. He didn't have to give you a good life. He didn't have to give you the health that you have, the family that you have, and the job that you have, and the opportunities that you have. He didn't have to give you those things. That's all a bonus. What do we deserve? We deserve the wrath of God and the judgment of God is what we deserve. So the people of God are really bad about their lack of praise to God. And I believe that Psalm 106 and 107, they're both tied in together. They're both right there together. 106 is a continuation into 107. And so we want to look at these things here this evening. When we don't give praise to God, it is us that suffers, not God. It causes problems in our life, not in God's life. We are the ones that suffer. We do not complete God by praising Him. We become complete by praising God. We are the ones that need something, not God. Amen. We are the ones that's puny, not God. Yeah, we are the ones that are not all-powerful and almighty. God is. Amen. When we praise God, it enriches our life. We don't enrich God's life. Our lives are made better and enriched. So this evening, I want to look at three deficiencies that praising God helps us to avoid. And we're going to get our deficiencies from Psalm 106. And it's a history of the nation of Israel. The first deficiency that happens to a person who does not praise God the way that they ought to is ignorance. Ignorance. The second one is forgetfulness, and the third one is discontentment. When we don't praise God, we don't know God or ourselves the way that we ought to.
Lack of praise among the people of God reveals and breeds ignorance in His church. We see deficiencies in knowledge for the people of God. And that not ought to be said about the people of God that are worshiping God. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 106. It says, "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea." The children of Israel came up to the Red Sea. They had just came out of Egypt. God had just redeemed them with a mighty hand out of the land of Egypt. They had just seen God perform all kinds of wonders and miracles and signs in that land. They had seen a multitude of frogs. They had seen lice. They had seen darkness. They had seen the water turned into blood. They had seen over and over and over the mighty acts of God, and God led them out. He brought Moses and Aaron to lead them out of Egypt. And there they go, and they're going all the way down to the Red Sea, and they get to the Red Sea, and what happens? They don't know what to do. They run into a problem. They can't get across this huge Red Sea. Pharaoh's behind them. He's on their tail. He's about to take them over. What do? They don't praise God. You know what they do? They rebel. They provoked God. They didn't praise God the way that they ought to. They didn't say, "Well, God's already done all of these other things for us. We saw how He killed the firstborn in Egypt. We saw how He sent the lice and the frogs. We saw how He turned the water into blood. We know that He'll do something here because He's led us this way." No, they didn't. They started complaining. They provoked God to anger. They rebelled against Him. You know what happened? They didn't understand. They ran into some ignorance. They understood not God. When we don't praise God the way that we ought to, what we are saying is, well, we're kind of ignorant about the God that we serve. We're kind of dissatisfied with God. We ought to praise God instead of being rebellious against Him. I don't want to be ignorant of the God that I serve. A lack of praise breeds ignorance. Their attitude hindered them from learning the reason for the plagues that God had sent upon them. They didn't. As a matter of fact, you think about that. The Bible right here, the text says they understood not the wonders in Egypt. Well, did they not understand that God was the one who did that? I mean, you have to think about that. I mean, did they think that was kind of some kind of natural phenomenon or something that they had just seen? All the frogs and lice and all those things, darkness. Surely they knew that God was the one who did it. But the Bible says they didn't know. And then they didn't understand why these wonders were given. It was for their salvation. It was for their benefit. But yet their attitude hindered them from perceiving all of these things that God had done. Their attitude prevented them from understanding who God was. Did you know our attitude will prevent us from knowing God on a deeper level than we could? Whenever we don't have the right kind of attitude towards God, you know what that does? That blinds us. As Pastor spoke about this morning, the darkness starts to come in whenever we have that wrong kind of attitude towards God. The children of God ought not to be ignorant about the God that we serve. Amen. So they complained and they tempted God and they revealed that they did not understand God. It is sometimes said that ignorance is a bliss. That means if you don't know something, that you don't worry about it. But if you have the resources to understand it, it's to your condemnation that you don't find it out. If I'm saying that right. In other words, there's no reason for us to be ignorant about God. Hey, we have a Bible, don't we? Amen. We have a church on every street corner, don't we? We have the internet, we have the radio, we have the television, we have all of these mediums to where we can find out about God. There's no reason for us to be ignorant about God. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We have all of these things. So we must praise God at all times so we do not become ignorant the way the children of Israel were in the Old Testament. When we don't praise God in times of adversity and in times of problems, what we are saying is we don't understand our position as creatures. What were we created for? Why were we created? We were created to glorify and honor and praise God. That's our sole purpose here upon this earth. And it'd be a sad thing, ladies and gentlemen, to go through your life, and this happens to many people. They go through their entire life and they miss God's purpose for their life. They go through their entire life griping, complaining, and dissatisfied about their life and what God has done in their life. But the Bible says the reason that we were created, what our purpose is here upon this earth, is to glorify and honor and praise God. And when we don't praise God the way that we ought to, what we are saying is we don't understand our purpose here on this earth. Our purpose here is not to have an easy life. Our purpose here is not to have a cushy life. Our purpose here is not to get rich. Our purpose here is to glorify God and praise Him, to bring Him glory and honor. It says in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were and are created." That's what we're here for. Hey, I don't want to miss God's purpose for my life and what I'm here for. Let's strive to bring honor and glory to Him. When we don't praise God the way that we ought to, we're saying we don't understand God as Creator. And I admit, we don't understand everything about God. There's some things that we just can't comprehend. And there's some things that, I tell you what, we don't understand why certain things come into our lives. But yet we should still trust Him. God created the world and everything in it, including knowledge. So therefore, we must know God. It says in Psalm 147 and verse number 5, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Did you know that God knows all about your life? He knows all about my life. He's not ignorant about your situation, the problems that are going on in your life. He's not ignorant about that. He knows all about it. He knows the pains and the hurts that you have. He knows the deficiencies that you have. He knows what will happen and why those things will take place. And God knew why the children of Israel were at the shore of the Red Sea. He's the one that led them there. Did you know that most of the time, and I tell you what, we could read about this in Psalm chapter 107. We'll go through that probably here in a couple of weeks. God leads us to certain places in our lives. We just have to trust Him. We just have to trust Him. God's not ignorant of those things. He knows all about it. So we must praise God the way we were created to do. Not take God's place. Not try to be our own God. Not try to complain and all of those things. We must just trust God and praise Him. But the sin of ignorance leads to the sin of memory and forgetfulness. What is not praised and understood will soon be forgotten. Did you ever notice that? You don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about something and praising God for something. You don't remember it later on. It just passes your memory. You know what we remember most of the time? Most of the time we remember the bad things, right? That's for me anyway. We remember the negative things that happen in our life. It says in verse number 13 of Psalm 106. Verse 13. The Bible says, "They soon forgot His works and waited not for His counsel." They forgot about Him. How could you forget something like that? How could you forget a multitude of frogs? How could you forget lice? How could you forget darkness? How could you forget God opening up the Red Sea for you? How could you forget walking across on dry ground? How could you forget that? Well, they remembered it for a while. They had a big, huge, a big, huge celebration after they went through that Red Sea. Had a song they sang. I believe it is in Exodus chapter number 15. Big praise session there. Man, they were so happy about that. Like all God had done, and then he led them out into the wilderness, and you know what happened? Well, they forgot. They forgot all about that. Nathaniel Holmes said in 1652, he said, a shallow understanding causes a short memory. They didn't understand God too well. They didn't understand what God had done, and so they forgot about it really, really quick. You know, it'd behoove us to get to know our God really good so that we'll understand him and we won't forget about him. It says they soon forgot and they waited not for his counsel. Boy, they were in a hurry to forget. They were in a hurry to do their own thing. They were going to stop and praise God. They were going to stop and think about God. They're too busy. They want to do their own thing. Someone said that men's minds are like a screen or like a strainer. I don't know if anybody's ever used a strainer or not. Stick that underneath some dirty water. You want to strain out all the dirt out of that water, and you pour the dirty water through there, and the pure water goes through and goes on down the river, and the only thing that's left is mud and dirt and sticks. That's the way men's minds are. Boy, men's minds catch all the negative stuff. They catch all the dirty stuff. They catch all the junk. Then all the pure stuff keeps on going. They remember all those things. We remember all the negative things and the bad things. Kind of like straining some wheat or some flour. You strain some wheat through that strainer. The only thing that's left is chaff and junk. That's the way men's minds are. We forget all about the good things that God has done for us. Something bad happens in our life, and the only thing we can focus on is the bad things, the hard times of our life, but we forget about all the goodness and all the blessings that God has given to us all throughout the years. We focus on negative thoughts and make us depressed and discouraged and want to quit. We don't think about all the good things. You know, Paul the Apostle said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And he said that to Christians who were in jail and being persecuted for their faith. He said, hey, get your mind in the right place. Don't forget about what God has done for you. But so many times, we're in a hurry to forget it. We're in a hurry to be self-willed. We're in a hurry to do our own will and not wait on God. Say, hey, God's got this. He's got it in control. Don't forget about Him. Why do we forget about the blessings of God so easy? Do you ever think about that? Why? Well, sometimes we forget about the blessings of God and the goodness of God because hard times come. Hard times come and we forget about it. We get bitter, we get angry, and we don't remember the blessings of God. At least I know it's that way for me. You know what else makes us forget the blessings of God? The good times. Good times. Sometimes the times get good and we get prideful and proud because we say, hey man, I did this on my own. Look what I did. Man, am I strong. Man, am I smart. And we forget about God. You know what? I'm reminded of the prayer of Agur in Proverbs chapter number 30. He said, his prayer was for God. He said, just give me just the right amount of food. He said, don't give me too much, but don't give me too little. Because if you give me too much, I'm going to get puffed up and proud and arrogant. But if you give me too little, I won't take the name of the Lord in vain. Give me the food that is convenient for me. You know, we forget about the blessings of God in certain situations in our lives. Times get too hard. Times get too good. You know, the children of Israel, boy, they struggle with that over and over and over in their nation, in their life. Man, God blessed them. God was good to them. You know what they did? They got off into sin. They got off into idolatry. They got off into all of these things because times just got too good. And then God had to send an enemy against them take them back. Humble them. That can happen to any of us. That's what's happened to America today. We got it too good. We forgot about God. We got everything that we need in our fingertips. And we've forgotten about God. Who's the Savior? Government's the Savior of the United States. We don't need God anymore. We've got everything that we need. Why do you think that politicians campaign the way they do? Hey, I'll give you this, and I'll give you that, and I'll give you this, because people are looking for a Savior in the government. That's why. We aren't looking to God anymore. We've forgotten about God. Don't let that be true of you. Amen. Don't forget about God. You know what else will make us forget about God? Unrepentant sin. We don't repent of our sin anymore. We don't confess our sin anymore. You know what happens? Hard, hard heart. Nothing's getting through. You can't turn to your sin and turn to God at the same time. Those are two polar opposites. You have to turn from your sin and turn to God. Unrepentant sin. That was Israel's problem in Ezekiel chapter number 22 and verse number 12. God was condemning them for the sin that they caused or they were going through. He says, "In thee they have taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase. And thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord." Turn toward their sin and they turned away from God. You can't have it both ways. If you go toward your sin, you'll forget about God. Unrepentant sin. The Bible tells us over and over and over not to forget about God. Not to forget about His blessings. Not to forget about His benefits. Psalmist says in Psalm 103, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." We ought to get up every day of the week and praise God and thank God for what He's done for us. Man, He's forgiven us. He's been good to us. Let's not forget about God. A lack of praise will cause deficiencies in your memory. Let us praise God at all times. And then when we forget about God, you know what happens? We become discontent. That's the next step right there. We become discontent in our lives and we start to envy other people. We start looking around at what they have and what God's done for them and all the advantages that they have. And we say, "Man, I wish I had that. I got the short end of the stick. God wasn't as good to me as He was to him. Look at all that money they have. It's not right. I want my rights and I want them now." Americans, right? Yeah, that's our mindset. That's our mindset. Not fair. Look at verse number 16. What the children of Israel did. They had deficiencies in contentment. Verse 16 says, "They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord." Verse 24 and 25 says, "Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not His word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord." What were they discontent about? They were discontent about the leaders that God had placed over them. Aaron and Moses. And they say, "Man, who do they think that they are? Moses and Aaron. They think they're in charge or something? How come they get to make all the decisions? How come they're the ones in charge? I think I'm just as smart as Moses and Aaron. I could do a better job if it was just me, if I was in that position." They envied God's provision for them. Who gave them Moses and Aaron? God did. He's the one that gave them that. So they were discontent about the provision. They became resentful and envious of their position and their authority. Happens all the time to the people of God. Happens all the time. Envious. You know why the Pharisees crucified Jesus Christ? Because of envy. Because of envy. You know why Cain killed Abel? Because of envy. He envied. Envy is the oldest sin in the world. And it happens all the time to people. Children of God. They don't praise God. They don't say, well, man, be happy for what that person has. Thank God for that person. No, they start getting envious. What else did they despise? Or what else were they discontent about? They were discontent about the land that God had given them. Verse 24 says, they despised the pleasant land. God says, I'll give you a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a great land. It's a fruitful land. It's a beautiful land. They got in there for a while. Then they got discontent with it. They didn't want it anymore, and they despised it, and they counted it as nothing. They counted it as not valuable or precious. They didn't want it. Why? Didn't praise the Lord. Didn't thank God for what they had. They became discontent. That's what happens whenever we, as children of God, don't praise God the way that we ought to. We start looking around, looking at other people, looking at what people have and say, hey, I want that. I envy that. How come I don't have that talent? How come I don't have those looks? How come I don't have this or that? But God said, hey, these are the men that I have appointed to lead you. You know what we're saying whenever we become envious like that? Hey, God, you don't know what you're doing. You don't have the smarts in order to run my life. You don't know what you're doing. Boy, don't you know that's an insult to God? That's an insult to God. How would you like for your children to do that? Do you like that whenever your children do that? I don't like it when my children do that. Not that they do, but we're all prone to do that. What do? We gripe and complain and grumble about what God has given to us. Do you sometimes reside on Grumble Street? I have before. I bet we all do. Let me read you something about Grumble Street. Grumble House is on the north side of Dismal Street. It's surrounded by a stone wall which fails to admit the sunlight of God's grace. It is located near a forest which is haunted by the screech owls of discontent. There are many rodents on the premises which spoil the fruits of the Spirit. The lamp of joy is never seen in any of its gloomy rooms. Owing to their spirit of heaviness, the inmates of Grumble House have no garments of praise, but are clad in beggarly elements of the world, as they have never learned Ephesians 5:19. Their only song is like the croaking of a raven, because it does not proceed from hearts overflowing with thankfulness to God for all His goodness and mercy. I will not grumble, grunt, or growl, or sit and mope like some old owl, because life's inconvenient things do test the strength of soaring wing, with which to rise above the roof of Grumble House, and thus give proof that I belong to Pleasant Town, and wear a smile but ne'er a frown. Thus will my aged wrinkled face reflect my Father's loving grace. Oh, that men would praise God for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that they would do that. But they don't. They grumble, gripe, and complain. When we gripe and complain, it draws us away from God, and we become discontent when we don't praise Him. We can be led astray real easy. What do? We follow the philosophies of this world instead of praising God. The Bible warns us about the philosophies of this world instead of praising God. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. We have to seek after Jesus Christ. We must praise God through Jesus Christ. We must cling to Christ because He is our satisfaction. We are completed in Jesus Christ. Not in things, not in circumstances, not in a nice car, not in the perfect job, not in the perfect marriage, not in perfect kids, not in any of those things. in Jesus Christ is how we are complete. Jesus Christ came to this earth and endured the mockery and ridicule of men to save those who were his enemies. Amen. You and I must praise him for that. We find wisdom in Christ. We find contentment in Christ. We find remembrance in Christ. Did you know that God is not going to leave you and he will not forget you because of Jesus Christ? But yet we forget him many times. We're secure in Christ. Isaiah 49:15 says, Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. That was spoken about Israel, but we can claim that. Where are you and I at? Right here, on the palm of God's hand. He's not going to forget us. He's going to remember us because of Jesus Christ. Israel failed in the wilderness, but Jesus Christ defeated Satan in the wilderness. He was completely obedient. Jesus Christ came to this earth as the Son of God, died as a sinner for sinners. He was buried. He arose 3 days later so that he could save you and me. And we find our completeness and our contentment and everything that we need, we find it in Jesus Christ. The only thing I must ask you here this evening is, do you believe on Jesus Christ for salvation? Are you believing on Christ? Or is it something else? Something that is never going to bring you satisfaction. In Christ, we do not have deficiencies. There's surpluses. There's everything that you need. There's an overabundance of the things that we need. Mercy, grace, forgiveness, compassion. There's all of that. Just go to Jesus Christ. And praise God through Jesus Christ. That's why we can praise God, is because of Christ. Amen. Why? That's why. He bridged the gap. We can now praise him. So let's praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.